Hey, hello to everybody on this beautiful Saturday afternoon at Guthrie.
Beautiful.
Beautiful day. We have here today Heidi Gunderson, who many of you aren't as familiar with as you should be, because she lives in the very cold, frozen tundra state of Minnesota. Did I say that right?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Heidi, do you get tired of people making kind of little funny humor about accents in Minnesota?
I don't. I mean, it's, I don't think I have an accent, but I work online, and the girls are always like, we love your accent, because they're all over the country. I'm an online teacher as well.
Okay.
And so when I meet families and stuff, they tell me I have an accent, but I don't think I do.
So you're, okay. So we're going to take a step back here for a sec and talk about your training, your career, and this week. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're in the finals tonight. Explain to me everything about this horse.
Yeah.
That's been,
it's kind of a cool story. So I have to kind of go back about 5 years ago. I rode a gelding, owned a gelding by, out of a stud by Frenchman's Azalea. And he was really, really nice colt, and he died. He got pneumonia, and I learned a lot of things through that colt. And when he died, it was because he was bleeding, and he got abscesses in his lungs, and we didn't know it at the time. And I feel kind of, I mean, I learned through that experience. I learned a lot through that horse, but I felt guilty, and I felt like it was my fault. So when Dan called me up.
Dolan. Dan Dolan, okay, who has been connected with
horse.
Many good horses. Mm-hmm. And just to let people know more about you, you do ride for the public.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And yourself.
Do. Yes, but myself.
How many outside horses do you have primarily?
More than my own.
Okay.
So on the trailer this weekend, I have two outside, and I have two of my own, and I sold one of my own when I was here.
Okay.
So
okay.
Here entered, I have two outside horses and one of my own.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So
yep.
And back to your story.
So when Dan called me, and he's from Minnesota too, and said, what do you think about the Candyman? And I said, oh, Dan, I think he's the next thing. I really like him. I think you should buy one. And he said, you know, Hallie and Lee, it'd just be easier if you just call him and you pick one out. And I called up Lee and I said, Dan wants me to pick out a colt. I've never had anybody call me up and say, pick out a horse for me.
Wow.
Like, here's my budget. Pick out a horse for me. And I called up Lee, and he said Dan wanted a filly, and they didn't want to sell any fillies. And so they had two stud colts, and they sent me pictures, and they sent me the papers. And this one was out of Frenchman's Azalea. One was a bay colt.
Wow.
One was a sorrel colt. That's his dam, and Hansen's own her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I just feel like they're both really nice colts, but I'm drawn to this. It's like a second chance at the colt that died. And so I said, Dan, I think you should pick this one. I like him. Pick him. And it really no other reason, because he was by Frenchman's Azalea.
Wow.
So that's kind of, and we,
Dan got him. What's his barn name?
Jackson.
Jackson. Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Should be Chance.
Yeah.
Second Chance.
The horse I just sold was Chance.
Oh, wow.
So I already have a chance. Had a chance. Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. And so you bought, how old again?
So Dan is 82.
Okay, I've seen Dan around for a long
He's
time.
He's here this
really
weekend.
Connected with good horses.
Yep.
And as this, as Jackson progresses, when did you know that he was going to have some winning?
So Dan brought him to us when he was a long yearling, and we put 30 days on him as a long yearling, and I liked him right away. And
and when you say we, your husband, right?
My husband starts all of the colts for us.
That's
and
nice.
For the public. Yep. And so we liked, Mark always knows what I like, and he said right away, you're going to like this colt.
And what specifically?
How they move their feet,
like the
how
feet.
They feel, how they feed. You know, I like something that just freely kind of moves across the ground, mm-hmm. not something I have to, like, push mm-hmm. forward all the mm-hmm. time. And
a good forward moving horse. Yep. Like, yeah,
exactly. And so Mark was like, you're going to really like this colt. So as a two-year-old, I got to get on him, and I was like, I really like this colt a lot. And I called Dan, said, well, I think I maybe want to sell him. And I said, oh, I don't think you should sell this colt. And he kind of told me what he might want for him. And I said, well, maybe we should buy him.
Okay, and can you tell me how much? Just tell me.
$30,000.
Oh, okay.
And I said, well, I don't know if I can. We just don't have that money to put into him. And I was thinking we might go partners, and Dan was into that we could do that. And we just decided in the end, I bought another horse, and I am totally kicking myself that I could be in Jackson for $15,000 right now, because that is a very nice colt.
Yeah.
I should have, but everything happens for
hindsight.
A reason. Everything happens for a reason, and it's we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So let's fast forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You entered him here last year as a juvenile?
Yeah.
And?
Yep. He placed in the average. He actually, you know, being in Minnesota, we don't have a ton of pens.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about
practice.
That for 1 minute. Being in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Your training isn't year-round, correct?
So when I sold.
So you don't have an indoor, is that right?
I didn't. When I came to the BFA 2 years ago, I sold one of the horses that I made the Derby finals on that I mm-hmm. owned, and that was the first thing I did.
You put up an indoor.
I put up a barn.
Okay. When you say put up a barn, like
but
dimensions?
Not like a barn like
right.
that you can prep a horse, like
right.
a barn that Mark can train colts in.
Right,
a
like
barn
a 60
that I
by
can
120
do some,
something?
That's exactly
that's
what
right.
it is.
Yeah, right.
It's 80 by 120.
Okay,
and,
that's nice.
I mean, I can work a small pattern in there, but it doesn't prep a colt for this.
Right.
You know, it's not an alleyway. And,
right.
And we don't have heat. So when it's zero out, it's maybe 5 degrees in there. when it's negative on the temperature in the barn, we don't ride.
You know, if you win tonight this fraternity, you can put insulation heat in your barn.
Yes, I could.
So I'm gonna be cheering for you because I just get cold thinking about it.
It is cold. I put like little heated packs in my boots. Mm-hmm. I wear heaters on my, and I have a heated gloves and heated vest and all
it's,
the
it's all about
underarm.
The gear,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, you gotta have the right
my feet
gear.
Always get cold, so I put the things that the hunters wear. You know, those little they stick to the bottom of your sock.
Right.
And then
right.
you toss them when you're done.
Yeah.
They last like 8 hours or something like that.
So you knew the colt's good at the juvenile. Then mm-hmm. you start your four year old year, and he
yep.
shows right off the bat.
Yeah. Went to Oklahoma City, was third in the fraternity there. And just, we went home after Oklahoma City into the cold winter, and I was like, I have this colt, and I want to go. If we are given this opportunity, I want to try. And so we went to Kinder, and it's really hard to get a colt ready in Minnesota and go to Kinder when it's 80 degrees and you just left 20 below. And he ran good, but I don't think he ran his best, just because how do you get a horse prepped for that? With his hair was, no matter what we do with lights and blankets, we don't have a heated barn. Our horses grow hair. So he was sweating down there and just kind of wrung out a little.
Right.
He ran a good, I mean, he was in the top, I don't know, 25.
That's good.
But
and you go from Kinder, you went to
Arizona.
Arizona.
Yep. One of the only barrels I tipped on him all year long.
And he is throughout the season mm-hmm. steadily getting faster, getting stronger.
Yep.
Every run you make is
yep.
a little better every time.
Gives me the same run every time.
Every time.
I think you could run him with your eyes closed. Like a little kid or could one hand him.
Right.
He's just so nice and
so
honest.
This group of four-year-olds is as strong as I have ever seen.
Was it crazy?
It was crazy. So give me your lowdown of your run this week.
So his first go run was beautiful. I can't fault it. I bought the interval timing, and that's really neat because I'm like, where did we lose time? And he really lost it running to his third, and he did. It was a better third barrel, like a sharper third barrel than he's had. He kind of likes to kind of pop off there and just kind of keep going. And he really wrapped around it. So I was like, man, he really turned his third really, really good. Why weren't we faster? We were 15-7. And at the time, Lee even sent me a message, that's going to get you in the finals. And then it just got so fast this weekend.
What was your first run time?
A 15-7-4-9.
Okay, 7-4. And then your second run was a?
15-4.
That's right. I saw the 4.
What was it? What were the last digits? A 4-6? I'm blanking
right
on it. Yeah. So he, a 4-7-1. That's what it was. And I called up Mark, and he said, I just don't know. You know, I said, how do I get him faster? I don't know how to get him faster. That was a beautiful run. And he said, well, you know, typically he does get a little faster his second run. And Dan said, he'll be faster his second run. And Mark said, you're going to need a 6 to make the finals. So just send him. That's what I did. He ran a 4.
So you threw caution to the wind. So now I'm going to be there Saturday night.
I'm like, well, what do we have to lose? Nothing.
Oh, I like that. What did you have to lose? Nothing.
Nothing.
You knew you had to. You have to bring your A game here.
Yeah.
We were talking last night with some people. Like, this is tier one fraternity. Like Pink Buckle. Like Fork Smith. These horses are incredible.
Horses.
Every year they're faster, stronger, quicker.
Yeah.
Look, and the riders the same.
Sweepstakes. It was incredible.
Incredible. So who taught you to train barrel horses?
I want to say I'm kind of self-taught.
Okay.
Like my dad was, he's a rancher in northern Minnesota, so we always rode horses and
Ranches what?
Beef cattle.
Beef cattle, okay.
Yep. And everything that he does and to this day still does is all horseback, doctoring cattle, that stuff.
Did you
belong
to the
rodeo?
High school, WSCA, all that stuff?
My husband did WSCA.
Okay.
He's a WSCA champ.
Yeah. So people from like Oklahoma, Texas, other places don't know what WSCA is. Wisconsin or Western Saddle Club Association.
It's a saddle club. So it's a horse show association. And I didn't belong to that. I did 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
I did high school rodeo. And that I just was like, I want to run barrels. And we couldn't buy barrel horses. We didn't buy barrel horses. Dad always trained all of our colts and ranched off them. And so it was kind of like, pick one of these colts. Which one do you want to high school rodeo on? And it was a 4-year-old colt. Just started running barrels on him.
So did you learn the footwork trial error? Did you pattern yourself after someone, clinics?
Yeah, I knew nothing when I trained that first barrel horse. I just went around the barrels.
Mm-hmm.
I knew absolutely zero, and he did well at the high school rodeo level, and he died at my dad's house, so he stayed forever. I did, you know, take some lessons. Do you know Maren Ludeman?
Mm-hmm. I know Maren well.
So when I got married, I wanted to train barrel horses, and I went and rode with Maren a little bit. I've rode with Jane, Melby. They were all, you know, in Minnesota, and just kind of tried to pick up a little here and there, and just rode a lot of horses. And you learn what works, and you learn what doesn't work,
so what
and you
works
watch
you?
A lot of people.
Give me a brief. Tell me your style.
I
like Dina Kirkpatrick, one
yep.
smooth motion.
Yep.
Get to the back.
I want a horse to be very broke, and if I want to stop it in the middle of a run and I sit down, it needs to come back to me. No matter what I do, I want it to go where I want it to go. So instead of just patterning it, I want it very broke. And just like Mark does a lot with the colts, that they do everything he asks them to do. They go anywhere he asks them to go. They listen very, very well to your legs, your hands. They come back into your hands. I want them to gather up when I want them to gather up. I don't like a horse that won't give me his face. I really, you know, all those things, and I want him to move forward while doing it, you know. So he knows how to get them where I like them, and then I take them from there.
And if you're talking about a broke horse, and you are probably a believer that it takes time, you're not in a rush, they all come along differently when you're talking about moving a horse forward in the bridle, that's not an overnight thing.
No. And that's tough, too, because people call me up and they'll say, I have this colt, and I really want you to run it. And in all honesty, I don't like to jump ride horses. I have jump rode horses, but I don't think it's fair to the horse or to me, because depending on too, I'm like, well, who started it? You know, who rode it prior to this? But not everybody's definition of a broke horse is the same. It doesn't make it a bad horse. It's just not how I ride. And so that's not fair to the horse or to me to just jump on a horse and go enter it and run it at the BFA.
Right. Yep. When you're here at the BFA and you're running against Cassie Mowry and Daniel Campbell, of course, you know Hallie and Lynn very well, but you're with, this is like.
I'm just in awe of those people. They're so good at what they do. And I watch them. And
you watch them. What do you pick up from them?
Their
Cassie
horsemanship.
Mowry told us that year ago. She said that's a lot how she learned. She'd sit and she'd watch.
Their horsemanship. You know, I'll call up my husband and I'll be like, I was watching so-and-so in the warm-up pen yesterday, and they're doing this with this colt, and I think that might work for a colt we have at home or something. And I'll say, I think that's how he likes to be, that horse. And I'll say, I think we should try, you know, this. Or I think maybe I'm putting my colts here and I'm watching these girls, and I'm like, I like what they're doing. And guys, too. I mean, I like the warm-up pen. You can learn a lot out there.
What's the one common trait, training trait or skill, whatever, that you see all these top trainers have perform?
I think that their horses are very controlled. They can control every part of their body. They know how to control the front end, the back end, the hips, the shoulders, the face. Every part of it. If they wanted them to twitch their tail, they could make them twitch their tail. It's like a robot. They've made a robot, and they're so broke.
And likewise, it's funny, I was talking to Danielle Campbell just a little bit ago, like, she's like, push the button, put the quarter in Danielle, away she goes.
Yeah, she's
amazing. That automatic.
She's so good.
She's a wonderful person.
I love watching her ride.
But, and then so are you, and here you are in this group of very, very elite. Like,
it's intimidating a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a teacher. That's what I do for a living. I'm an online teacher. And
what do you teach? Like,
I work for K-12, a private academy. So okay. K through 5 students is what we have. And I taught kindergarten, second grade, first grade in Bagley, Minnesota for 12 years. And then when we moved to southern Minnesota, I was applying for jobs and a friend of mine said, hey, there's this online school hiring. I think you should try it. And it works out really good because even here this week, worked.
Wow. So you're teaching while you're at, that's really cool. Yeah. And you have children.
Yes, two.
Two kids.
Yep.
And who are they?
I don't know. Koi is a sophomore at Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Oh, wow.
Yep. He's there on a wrestling scholarship.
Wow.
He wrestled last night.
You don't look old enough to have a kid in college. Yeah. I thought you were going to have little tiny kids.
Nope. Married at 20, first kid at 24, second kid at 27.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you're telling
us
how old
you are. You can't tell me how old I am. I can't tell you how old I am.
Okay, and your other?
Trey is a sophomore in high school.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Play sports?
Yes, they're both wrestlers.
So you are busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've got a little tear in my eye. I think about these people from Minnesota knowing, having lived there before, how difficult it is to keep up in that frozen tundra.
Yes.
And what has changed in Minnesota that we're seeing lots of good barrel races? What's going on up there?
The production that Casey and Sean are putting on up there, that they, when they started the Northern Fraternity Tour.
Right. You won that this year, didn't you?
I won it. No, Alyssa Gabrielson, my horse, got reserve.
All right, we've reserved.
And her horse made the finals here, too. Rare Kelly. So, very, very nice colt. I mean, we were first and second in the Northern Fraternity Tour. We were first and second in the finals of the WPRA standings, those two horses, and they both came out of Minnesota.
Yeah, Casey's,
and they're both here.
SC
She's
Productions.
Brought the incentives to Minnesota, the fraternities to Minnesota, the, you know, 400 barrel race, a barrel race with 400 people entered. Yeah. So
yeah,
the money, yeah, there was never any money to run at, you know, you don't want to run these colts and win $67.
Right. Yeah. I think she really appreciates everybody.
Yeah,
who is a contestant, and mm-hmm. I know we sponsor her, and every year I wait to see, oh, what is Casey going to get me? The first year, she sent this really cool barbecue set. No one has ever done that for us. That woman is smart. She's a good business person. She knows how to appreciate her clients, whether it's an Andrew. Yeah, it's a great team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody can learn a little bit from that.
Yep.
Yeah, but
I think she could run a production like this.
No, she runs a radio show.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah,
so
they're outstanding.
So, okay, so you're going in tonight. You got jitters, nerves. What are you going to do? Mentally prepare.
I'm not nervous at all because we did what we had to do to get here, and this is just icing on the cake. You know, that colt's going to give me a run, and he's going to give me everything he's got. He's going to turn three barrels, and we're going to try to do it as fast as we can, and we're going to see where that lands.
Mm-hmm. Do Lee and Hallie help you out?
They're so good. If I have any question about anything, I text Lee and he's on the spot.
Yeah,
you know?
Hallie doesn't answer her messages.
I don't think I have Hallie's number, but I have Lee.
If you want to ask Hallie, you got to ask Lee.
Yeah. No, and Lee's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
So
he's great, and he's really good for the industry, mm-hmm. you know, because it's a business. He runs this like a business. He runs Candyman like a business.
Yep. We have more Candyman at home, and French Drake and Jess, too, which we have a couple of them, and we really like all of them, and they're all from, you know, Hallie and Lee's program.
Right.
So.
Right. What else do you have in your barn? What are you running for the public? And then I'm going to ask you, what do you charge a month? What do people in Minnesota get?
So we're raising our rates as of
to
$1,000 a month. I don't know what it is down here, but I think that we had to somehow start catching up.
Yes. Well, interesting. I asked Molly Montgomery last night, what is she charging? $1,200.
Okay.
And I mentioned that to my daughter. I'm like, wow, who can afford that? $1,200. And then,
but
you know,
I can't do it
1400?
For free either.
No.
Like, and we're not making a ton of money.
Well, I asked my daughter, I said, man, who can afford that? I mean, Emily, that's a lot of money. And she's like, Mom, that is nothing. Are you kidding me? $1,200 to take care of a horse? I mean, a horse needs this, this, and this, and this. And she says, I pay my babysitter $2,000 a month. And she put it all in perspective. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. When you think that, you know, you ride it, and maybe that's an hour of your day, you feed it, you clean its stalls, you give shavings, you have probably spent, and there's how many horses at your house? I don't know, we got like... I haven't been home in a couple of weeks, but when I left, I think there was 18 at the house, and I took 5 with me. So, but Mark is a one-man show at home right now, and it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. He's riding 2-year-olds and feeding them and taking care of them.
And that's his
full-time
job. Okay.
He was working for a farmer and just killing himself. Working all day, and I said, well, something's got to go, and what do you want to do? Do you want to work for a farmer? Do you want to be in the field? Is that what you want to do? And he's like, no, I hate it. So
you guys are
living
the dream.
Life is way too short. Like, then if it doesn't work out and we're broke, go back and work for the farmer.
I love that.
But, like, don't do something that you hate.
So your team every day.
Every day.
Who does the cooking?
Nobody.
Who does the cleaning?
You know, Mark's really clean.
Like,
okay. He's really clean, too. Mark's a really clean person, so.
Who pays the bills? Who sits down and pays the bills?
I do.
You pay the bills.
Okay. Yeah. He always says, I have no idea how much money we have. And I know he had a friend one time that said, how do you not know? What if Heidi was, breaking you? What if she took all your money and you're broke? And he said, then she's broke, too.
I want a glimpse of your life. So you ride horses all day, have a little dinner, then what do you do
when
in the
evening? Get up, Mark goes outside, he takes care of all the horses, does all the chores. I start teaching I get my computer up and I work, and you know, he's out there riding colts, riding colts, riding colts, and he'll call me and he'll say, what horses are you going to ride today? And I'll say, well, I think I should ride this one, this one, this one, this one. And they'll be standing there tied up, sometimes saddled, when I come out after I'm done with work.
He saddles your horses for you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Because I'll say, like, work's really busy today.
He's a nice guy.
And he'll say, okay, which ones do you want me to ride for you? Or what, you know, and so it's a team deal. And I have thought about, you know, I could quit my job and we would be fine. But it is really hard to, like, leave the comfort of benefits, retirement.
Right. And if you have benefits, you almost need to hang on to that, because health insurance is so expensive.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's something that we throw around.
Yeah. You guys have a good little gig going. So at the end of the day, what do you guys do to relax?
We're going to Costa Rica next week. And if I wouldn't have booked that trip, we would still be riding horses.
Yeah.
So we needed to go somewhere without horses together.
Yeah.
But to relax, I mean, we go watch the kids wrestle. Mm-hmm. Mark's a wrestling coach the high school as well. So he coaches our youngest son, and he coached our oldest son all the way since he was 4 years old, and now he's in college. And our family is our enjoyment. Yeah. So our relaxation.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Flying home, having Thanksgiving dinner at my mother and father-in-law's with our boys and our family, and then getting on an airplane that night and going to Costa Rica, and then flying back home. And I have friends that are helping keep the horses legged up.
That's nice.
Down here. People that I trust, and we're going to go to Costa Rica, and then I'm going to fly back down here, a couple days before Oklahoma City, get on my colts. I'm sure they'll be fine, and get back at it.
Okay, so let me ask you, you're from Minnesota. You've seen a lot of different types of barrel racing because you're not from these parts. What do you think the industry is in need of to improve? What would you like to see improvements and changes in the futurity industry?
Well, we were kind of talking about this, how the incentives have just blown up over the last couple years. And it's good. And it's, you know, the racing industry and the cutting industry, they've been doing this for a long time. So why not barrel racing?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the barrel racing industry was behind the rest of the industry.
I thought so. I mean, the money that we're running at, like, you look at what the cutters get paid, they're finally, you know, with these incentives, I mean, you have so many incentives. And I know that people, there's a lot of controversy out there. You know, not everybody wants a horse that's a pink buckle horse or a future fortune horse.
What is the controversy between?
Well, I think that, you know, the incentives have raised the price of the horse because you're paying so much money.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, and people are like, well, I can't afford a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, whatever it be, colt. I just want a horse, you know.
I just don't see why that's a controversy. I've heard that.
I'm not
against you.
It.
I'm not either. But if you don't want the buckle horse, there's a lot of great.
Yeah, exactly.
Run at Casey's, run at Renee Bowling's, run at Elite down in Texas. It's kind of like, are you making up controversy? Because there really isn't any when it comes to incentives.
There's no way that the Candyman colt, he crossed over 100,000 yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's no way that Jackson would have made that money if those incentives, we'd have been half that or less, you know.
Okay, that means more money in your pocket. That means you buy more horses, more stud fees.
Yep.
More trucks, more trailers.
Yep. It's good.
It's good.
It's good stuff. I don't see anything bad about it at all.
Yeah. So how long do you think this is going to continue, this upward rise? I've been asking a lot of people this. What'd you think of the sale last night?
I didn't go to the sale. I know. We went out to eat with Dan. And
where did you go to eat?
We went to Cattleman's.
Oh, how did you like that?
It was really good.
Is it good?
Yeah, we laughed a lot. It was good. He wanted to go out to eat, and he's like, what's the best night for you? And that was the best night. I said, there's the sale, so unless you want to go buy another horse.
And the prices were all over the place.
Right.
And something, people are kind of talking about it today. What'd y'all think? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say.
I saw when they post them on the internet, and we were kind of watching it on the live stream, and You know, there's a couple horses that we wanted to see. You know, obviously we wanted to see what Sisters Dam sold for, mm-hmm. and, you know, just ones that we were curious.
Right, right. And she did no sale.
Right, I heard that. Yep, at $490. Do you think somebody bought her, though?
I don't know, but oh. I know the owner very well. I know John very okay. well. We do Operation Unicorn with him.
Okay.
And when I first saw her sell, I thought the coolest thing was not that she brought the money, but that she brought it for John because he's a veteran.
Yeah.
No Army pilot. And we run a veteran program also, and I love John. Love our veterans. And then I found out she didn't sell. I'm like, oh,
I wonder if she still will sell, like after the sale.
Yeah, I'm going to find out, and I'm going to text mm-hmm. you because I've kind of been bugging John. Tell me.
I mean, it's none of my business, but it's just curiosity,
either,
right?
Know.
And it's
well, yeah.
Like, yeah, everybody's like, she's in the sale. Oh my
well,
gosh,
and people you know? were saying to John, why? Well, mm-hmm. he's just all tore up, yeah. you know? He was in the Army, then he was a contractor, multiple trips to Africa. He just mm-hmm. tears himself up. Yeah. So it's time for them to retire. It's probably time for us to retire, too, but here we are.
There was a colt. I bought a Candyman colt off of a person at home that he called me after kind of midsummer and said, I have a Candyman colt and I'm going to consign him to the BFA sale, but if you want him, I'd like to sell him to you. And I went and bought him. So he didn't make it here. So,
do you have any broodmares?
No, we don't raise babies. I have tried a couple times and I'm just,
babies.
I don't have the heart for it and the... I would rather go to someone like Hallie and Lee and say, what do you have for colts? I know what color they are. I know they're alive. I know if they're a boy or a girl. I know I know what stands in front of me. And, you know, I've tried to raise a couple colts, and I have zero. My percentage is 0%. So I'm going to go buy one that's living.
Buy one from Hallie and Lee.
Yeah, I have. Yep. We got one last year.
Another Candyman.
No, that one's a French Streak and Jess.
You told me that. And yeah. What's the mare side on that?
Was a Trace Sace mare that Hallie fraternity'd. So
Hallie and Lee are your go-to for keeping you. That's your supply chain.
You know, I trust them. They're very honest, and they'll tell me. So we have.
Well, yeah, Lee will tell you all right.
Yeah. Yep. So I trust them, and they've been really good to us. And so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked to them a lot mm-hmm. on Barrel Talk Radio, and I get the biggest kick out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're good people.
They're
good,
they're
people.
Good at
they
what
know
they
their
do.
Horses are good mm-hmm. at what they do. Yep. So, who's going to give you a pep talk tonight?
I don't know. My husband, I didn't even see it until I was in the warm-up pen, and he's not usually like a super, you know, motivating person. I mean, not motivating. I don't mean that, but he's just doesn't usually say things to motivate me pre-run. So yesterday I looked down at my watch and I didn't have my phone, and I saw I had a text from Mark, and I'm in the warm-up pen right there. And it says, go have fun today. Okay. Go have fun today. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be your thing in your head. Go have fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
So we don't have, like I said before, we don't have nothing to lose. We made the finals, and we're going to make a run at it. And that colt has done so many things for us this year.
Are you, for next year, going to be making these trips back and forth to?
That's a good question. So Trey's a sophomore in high school, and my husband said that we will not leave Minnesota until the kids are done with school. So my plan, yes, is to
here it comes. Can we have a drum roll here? Okay, Heidi, tell me.
I will drive back and forth until Trey graduates, and then we'll come down here in the winters.
We'll live
down here in the winters.
In Oklahoma or Texas?
The plan right now is to stay in Oklahoma. My friend in Purcell mm-hmm. has a place, and she bought an amazing place, and she's raising a lot of babies. So we plan to ride a lot of her horses for her. And I have a lot of them at my house right now. And, yeah.
Would you consider buying a place in Oklahoma?
I wouldn't say no, I would have to consult my husband. That would, you know, so. But the plan is right now, though, family is in Minnesota. All my family. His family, and that's so important to us. So I don't know if moving permanently to Oklahoma, and it's hot here.
It's really hot here.
Minnesota's really nice in the summer.
Yeah.
So
Minnesota's much nicer. It's hot, hot, hot here in the summer.
Yeah.
We don't have mosquitoes. You have.
I don't know. The mosquitoes haven't been that bad at my place.
And we have other things, you know.
Right.
Tornadoes. Snakes.
I don't like snakes.
Yeah. There's, you know, it's a trade-off. Mm-hmm. But Oklahoma's a pretty cool place. But Minnesota, do people actually say oofta? Is that a real thing? Do people ask you that?
I grew up.
What's that?
In northern Minnesota. Okay. Bemidji and north. And so I grew up way up there. And if you go, we always say Gonvick is like this tiny little town. And it's kind of northwest of Bemidji. If you go north of Gonvick, everybody totally talks with the oofta. The first time I said oofta in a work meeting, the girls that I work with are from Florida and Idaho, and they go, what does that mean? They never heard it before.
You should name one of your horses oofta.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I see that, I'm going to know you named it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. Do you eat hot dish? Yeah.
Yes, of course.
That's amazing.
I can make a mean tater tot hot dish. That I can cook.
That is a Minnesota northern thing, hot dish.
Yeah. In a crock pot.
Oh. Yeah. How do you do that?
Just put it in the crock pot.
What do you put in with it?
Well, you have to brown the hamburger prior.
Oh.
And then you just put it all in there like you normally would and turn the crock pot on.
Okay. So what are your passions outside of horses? Politics?
No.
Really?
I don't want to talk politics.
Okay. Do you read?
Yes, I do like to read.
What do you
I don't
like
get to read very often, but I like to read fiction because it, like, when we went on vacation last year, we went to Florida
Where?
With some friends. We went to, what's the island called? Anna Maria Island.
Okay.
And it was the same exact thing, right after BFA, before Oklahoma City, because that's the window that I have, that I don't have a fraternity, and that Mark's not, the kids aren't wrestling. Pre-wrestling season, that he wrestles literally the day we get home. It's the only window. So that's when we go on vacation. And I went with a friend, and she brought some books. And Mark goes, get your nose out of that book. I can watch you read a book on the car. I love to read, though, and just kind of get lost in the fiction. Anything fiction.
Okay, so that's really interesting.
Mystery, yeah.
True crime?
Yeah.
You like true crime?
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. Interesting. Well, this is really interesting to get to know you and just to see this personality is out there going, you know, mock whatever on a horse.
It's really exciting to be here, and it's a dream come true, really.
Oh, sure. And the kids that you're teaching online, do they know you do this?
Yep. They do. There's a little girl in, she lives in the Keys. And
okay.
She is the cutest little thing, and she wants to be a barrel racer. And so we did, like, a FaceTime with me and the horses, and she messages me pictures of her riding her horse, and she's one of our kindergartners.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
Okay, so give me your top five for inspirations in barrel racing. If you they need to make it six, you may.
Oh, my gosh. That's a tough one. Inspirations in barrel racing. You know, I mean, there are obviously people that I look at and be like, wow, they have accomplished a lot. But I'm also on my own timeline, and I never try to be somebody that isn't me. I'm happy to be me. But, I mean, just watching the huge trend, like Cassie Murray, I mean, she is a beast. She can win on anything, anywhere. I just really am in awe of how much she can win. And what she can do with a horse. Hansons have been, Hallie and Lee have been wonderful. And you said six inspirations.
Five, six.
You've got plenty. I don't know. My faith is a huge thing that I follow. So I try not to, like, watch everybody else
right.
and be like, I want that or I want that. Or I'm like, this is my path and this is my.
Your faith. Elaborate on that.
God. you know, there's a plan, and absolutely. And I can't change what he has in store for me. I'm going to work as hard as I can and do all the things and not try to, you know, I know nothing comes easily, but if this is what God has in store for me to run barrels and make the finals, and nothing's going to stop it if I've done my homework.
Absolutely. So, now, yep. You realize that there are girls that if you ask them who their inspiration, they may say Heidi Gunderson.
Oh, I don't think so.
I know that there are. I am absolutely certain they are. And I think that your success that you've already experienced, it's going to continue.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to try.
The Minnesota people are great. They have a lot of passion. They work very, very hard. Something that a lot of people from the South, I think, don't realize as much is how hard people in the North work. And I drew the conclusion it's because it's so cold and it's so dark for long days in the winter. Like, if you don't work hard, you're going to go crazy.
Because winter is hard.
It's hard.
It is hard. It makes everything, the temperature, the snow, it makes everything that we do 10 times harder than it is in the summer. It's not fun. I will say right now that I get pretty down in the dumps about it when I'm trudging through the snow.
You have my utmost respect and admiration for
doing that.
And just being from there, knowing, having lived there, how cold and how much you have to overcome. And
it's beautiful week here. I am loving the sunshine.
We were very fortunate. It wasn't so nice last year.
Cold. Yep.
I should have texted you and said, hey, can you bring me some of that really good Minnesota wild rice?
Yeah.
Because we can't buy that here.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Really?
It's good.
Yeah.
That stuff's amazing. Well, I'm going to be cheering. If you hear someone screaming in the background, it's me.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me and your support.
Oh, no. Thank you for coming. Do you drink coffee?
No. Diet Mountain Dew in the morning, I crack one.
Okay, no, that is not a Minnesota thing. Okay.
I was going to
send you home
caffeine,
with some coffee, some Black Rifle coffee, of course, but wow. Okay, are we done?
Thanks.
We got to let her go. She's got to get ready to go.
We'll close out with a little Journey and just a small town girl.
Oh, I love that for her. Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
You're listening to Barrel Talk Radio, Barrel Horse World production. I smell a wine right here at the BFA in Oklahoma City.